Welcome to season 5, episode 12 of Brody Sports Talk. My name is Derek Rusnick, and I will be your humble host for this preview of an NFL division. This week, we do the AFC South, where we have some Texans, some Colts, some Jaguars, and the Titans. But I can't do it alone. So everyone say hello to the greatest co-host, greatest founder of a podcast in human history. I've taken a poll. He's already won. Caleb Walgren. Caleb, how have you been?
Duval. Oh, wait. That was the wrong time for that. I'm doing well. Had to get a good Duval out there to start this podcast, because when we're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe that's kind of a arbitrary requirement due to guest appearances on other podcasts in the past. It's a beautiful day. I can't sit here and say I think that these teams are going to have beautiful records, but let's get into the division that does exist, the AFC South.
Yeah, someone has to make the playoffs. So if you have not listened to our division previews before, go back and listen to those. They have a lot of great information and a lot of not funny jokes, because me and Caleb make dad jokes all the time. But we will go over just a couple of topics here. We have the arrivals and departures from the teams. We go with the wins over under versus the spread. And Caleb, where do we get our numbers for the over unders?
FanDuel.
So we'll put our stake our reputation and a full on high five or a handshake for betting the over the under for the records for each team. Then we talk about division awards, like who come out of this division as the MVP or the most improved, maybe even a rookie of the year. And then we pick a game for each of the teams that we believe is the key matchup, and we tell you why we think it's the key matchup. So let's start with, I think they're still the Texans. I mean, they've brought in everybody and anybody that they possibly could. So let's start with the Houston Texans, and let's just talk about some arrivals. So this this division had three of the top four picks in this NFL draft, and the Texans had pick number two and pick number three. So pick number two was the Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud, and then right after him was they moved up and picked up Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm going to toss this question over to you, Caleb, just real quick. Do you think that CJ like picks fun at Will Anderson because, I was number two and you were number three? Or do you think that matters to them?
I think if I were him, one, I would probably tease him a little bit, because there's not that much you can tease him about. Plus, he is your teammate, and he cannot sack you during practice. So, you know, when you've got that jersey on that's red, that's like, hey, hands off, I'm a quarterback, you got to protect me. I would give him a little bit of a harder time. But I definitely, you know, picks two and three back-to-back, it was crazy that the Texans were able to pull that off. Major arrivals there in the draft. I feel like in general, this is a team that is looking to completely rebuild all over the field. Like, there's so many positions that we could talk about as far as arrivals are concerned. One of my favorites that I just want to bring up as well, Derek, is tight end Dalton Schultz coming over from the Dallas Cowboys. They did go ahead and give him a pretty decent contract to come over for this year. You and I both know that there are a few things that you can give quarterbacks that they really love. One is a good running game, which they had Damian Pierce as a rookie last year. He showed up and he showed up well. And then you give them someone that they can check down to, a solid tight end. Dalton Schultz has proven that he can do that in Dallas. And I think that he will be a very valuable asset for the Texans there, as they didn't have a lot of depth at that position last year. And I think that this will help him out immensely.
Oh, you're 100% correct. So having a guy you can check it down to with a rookie QB is really great and really smart. But also Dalton Schultz has been there. He's been through a couple of different quarterbacks and knows like what, you know, how to read a guy who maybe doesn't have 100% understanding of the offense. So yeah, you're right on that for, you know, bringing in a really nice tight end. I wanted to, so they brought over Jimmy Ward from San Francisco, the free safety. And I think that that could really pay dividends, if not this year, next year, where you're really seeing because it's D'Amico Ryans as your new head coach. He's building a defense, and that's really what he focuses on. But he already knows Jimmy Ward a little bit and has already coached him. So I think having, you know, kind of a guy who knows your head coach's tendencies and the language that he speaks, you know, not just the language of English, but the language of football, is always smart to have.
I love that call out. One other arrival I've just got to bring up, Derek, is late in the draft, they did end up acquiring Shaq Mason, mm-hmm. the right guard from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you look at how this offensive line is built, Derek, I'm actually really impressed by it. You have two former first round picks at tackles in Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. You have a first round pick from last year in Kenyon Green at left guard. You traded for Shaq Mason, who has done great things at right guard. And you spent a second round pick this year on Juice Scruggs to be your center. Like, if it does not work, they're at least attempting to protect CJ Stroud with everything that they have. So kudos to them for putting in the effort on the offensive line.
You're right about that. So when we move over to departures, anytime that you are picking top four in the draft, you're probably not, the departures are probably not big names that are leaving your team because you probably didn't have that much talent in the first place. One of the guys that I like to talk about here, because they brought in Dalton Schultz, they said goodbye to Jordan Atkins. He's a tight end. He went over to Cleveland, and I think it's a good pickup for Cleveland. But I think the numbers that are coming in are certainly greater than the numbers going out, or at least the ones that would make a big splash. Do you have anyone that has left the Texans this year via trade or free agency that you want to highlight?
I've got to at least bring up Brandon Cooks. Mm-hmm. I know he signed in state, so he's still going to be a Texan, but on the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think in general, bringing in Robert Woods is almost like a like-for-like replacement.
Yeah.
You're getting a veteran presence and a young rookie, mostly rookie or young player locker room for that wide receiver room. But I also go, Brandon Cooks didn't want to be there. Like, there was a lot of trade rumors around the trade deadline last year. He wasn't coming back. So while it is a departure and it is a noticeable name, at least it was known that was going to happen before we ever got to the off season.
No, you're right about that. I mean, I am sad to see him leave the Texans, as I think that he, you know, you always want to see like the team on the come up and someone to maybe get rewarded for loyalty there. But, you know, he deserves what he gets elsewhere, and he's a good player. So, the over-under win total for the Texans, our number from FanDuel is sitting at 6.5. I toss it over to you first, Caleb, as I want your number. Do you think they go under 6.5? Do you think they go over 6.5? Do you think this Texans team is close to a, maybe not a winning record, but a 500, close to a 500 record?
I'm going to put them under. I think that in general they are changing a lot. But I think that this is going to be a year with some growing pains. Even if you go out there and get 4 or 5 wins, hey, it's a lot better than the Texans have done the last couple of years. So I can't put them over 6.5. I think they will be more competitive, and I think they will find a couple of sneaky upsets. But I don't think that they get to 7. 7 is just too much for me, Derek.
Yeah, so I'm in agreement with you here. I'm going to go under as well. You have a rookie head coach who is not a retread from a different, you know, he's not Mike McCarthy or something like that, where he's head coached before. He does have ties to the Texans, which, you know, I think could really bolster them up. But rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, I mean, with a lot of talent around him on the offensive line, I think that there's opportunities, but I definitely think their ceiling is going to be 6 wins. I am not going to be surprised at all if they get to that 6 wins, and if they push to 7, you know, that would be one of those sneaky upsets that you were talking about. But I think their ceiling is 6, and I'm not sure where else we're going to be able to find more. So I think it's a good number. I would probably be really happy with 6 wins, 6-11 as a record next year, because if things go in the right direction and D'Amico Ryans really gets this defense going and really gives, really gets CJ, you know, CJ Stroud is who, you know, he's deserving of the number 2 pick, then I think that we could see a rise, much like another team we'll talk about in a little bit. So what about any division awards? Do you see anyone coming out of the Texans with an award?
I'll go ahead and say Will Anderson Jr., Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think that it's the one that I see as most likely. Whether you want to talk about the different quarterbacks and say there's going to be a lot of competition for that Offensive Rookie of the Year spot. But I think Will Anderson, he's the top defensive player taken in this draft. He's someone that everyone saw as reliable. They moved back up to get him. They need him to be able to be confident and solid coming off of the edge, frequently winning one-on-one matchups with, let's face it, not really the best offensive lines in football in some of this division. I know they are working on rebuilding some of those as well, but I think Will Anderson Jr., he's going to be trying to get up into that double digit sack range, which is right where you want to be for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
That's a great point. I do have a question. So if you have never played a down in the NFL, can you be Comeback Player of the Year?
I don't know, okay. But I think I know who you're talking about.
So John Metchie III, really wonderful story. So he goes in, gets his physical done, and they find acute leukemia, a type of cancer. And he basically says, I have to put my rookie year on hold, and I need to fight this. And with a really great battle, he's on the active roster now, and I think that he was drafted, I think, in the 2nd round last year out of Alabama, and I mean, really great upside. Someone that I think is going to to have a fruitful career, hopefully in the NFL, but a really great story beyond that when it comes to fighting for your life and fighting for your future. So if he can win, he's definitely up there in my book. I think we all know he's probably going to win Comeback Player of the Year, and he plays for the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to go with a key matchup that I have. Now, I am not putting, if you've listened to our stuff before, when it comes to the key matchups, I'm usually looking at, okay, this is going to tell us, this team versus this really good, awesome team that's been in the playoffs the last few years. I want to be a little bit more realistic when it comes to that. So I'm looking at week 5 at Atlanta. So this is two up-and-coming teams that need to show the world what they are and who they are in the future. So I think the Falcons are going to be better this year, and I think the Texans have promise. So it's earlier in the season, and at that point you should know, okay, here's our offense system, here's our identity. And Atlanta isn't a world beater. They're not the Chiefs. They're not the Eagles or the Bills, Bengals, anything like that. Where, oh my goodness, we're overwhelmed by where they used to be. The Falcons are the Falcons, and I think they should be better. But they could, they've underachieved in the past. So, yeah, I think Week 5 will be kind of a stepping stone or a preview game for what we could see in the future. What about your game, Caleb? What do you think?
So I'm also going with a road game in the NFC South. I'm going with Week 8 at Carolina. Let me see the Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud on the field game. I know they won't really be against each other. You can say it's the top 3 picks in the draft all on one field. Whatever you want to call it, I think that that is probably one of the most exciting games, because you're basically saying, all right, Carolina's got a new head coach. Houston's got a new head coach. Carolina has a new rookie quarterback. Houston has a new rookie quarterback. Like, what's going to happen? So that's where I'm going. I think you could also potentially look at some of their games against Indy, but I wanted to hold off on that because that is our next team to look at.
Yeah, great. A great point. I think you have to be realistic with, like, oh, okay, let's see. We're gonna have really great game. I think that the Texans, I think they have promise, and I think I really want to see what they can do. I really hope for the best when it comes to new head coach and new quarterback. So we talked about new quarterback. Let's talk about another team that has a new quarterback, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. So they have a new head coach and new quarterback, because just this week, one of their arrivals has been named the starting quarterback for the Colts, and that's Anthony Richardson. He just happens to be the number 4 pick. This year we talked about the pick number 2, pick number 3, and now we're talking about pick number 4, and Caleb just brought up pick number 1. So we've covered all of our bases now. That's a home run. That's 4 bases, round them, I'm getting the go around the bases sign. So as I said before, the arrivals, Anthony Richardson, pick number 4. They brought in Gardner Minshew at quarterback, coming over from Philadelphia. He has some familiarity with the new coach. And then Matt Gay, the kicker from the Rams, coming over. I think kickers are underrated, and kickers are a lot like lawyers. You don't need one until you need one. And you'll be very happy that you have one that's really good at their job when you need them. And Matt Gay is a pretty good kicker, and he's done some good things with the Rams. So any arrivals that you want to talk about, Caleb?
So let me go ahead and go to the wide receiver room. We all know how much I love it there.
Yep.
They brought in Isaiah McKenzie from the Buffalo Bills. I think bringing him in to potentially be more of a featured slot receiver, more of an experienced receiver in that room with some younger receivers. And then the third round pick that they brought in there as well, Josh Downs, I think has a lot of potential. And I want to be able to see, you know, if they go four wide and you have McKenzie in the slot, Downs in the other slot, how does it look? I think that in general, it gives some options for Anthony Richardson to be able to spread the field and try to potentially use his legs and his arm and both trying to make things happen in his rookie season.
That's a really great point. I cannot wait to see what this offense looks like this year because of the guys that they have brought in. I think you make a really good point. And I think wide receivers are very important, having some veteran leadership there and guys who've been there before. So as we said before with the Texans, the departures for the Colts are kind of sparse when it comes to bigger names. I do want to call out Paris Campbell, one of those wide receivers, headed over to the Giants. I like what Paris Campbell does, and I think he's been there a little bit of time and kind of made a name for himself in there. I think it's going to be, you're going to find a little bit of a hole. I mean, maybe those new guys they brought in, can do something, but I like having Paris Campbell there. What about any departures that you want to highlight there, Caleb?
I mean, we got to at least bring up former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles, who is no longer on the roster there. They also, as they're turning over the quarterback room dramatically, no longer have Matt Ryan, as he is now going to work for CBS because he is old and should not be trying to play quarterback in the NFL. Apparently, he was not on the Tom Brady diet, so he had to retire earlier than Brady did.
Can I bring up a blast from the past for you real quick, Caleb? So before Matt Ryan was a certain San Diego quarterback that played there. And he has been known as a dad. And so throughout his NFL career, he finally got up to 9 kids, and you're like, oh, okay, this is going to be really great. We're going to can you get to to a full football team? Well, just a couple of weeks back, he announced on Instagram that his wife is pregnant with child number 10. And of course, I'm talking about Philip Rivers. The mystique was too much for everyone out there. Former Indianapolis Colts quarterback, in just a few short months, he will have enough kids, if he plays quarterback, to fill out a full side of a football team. And hats off to him and his wife, mostly his wife, because we all know that moms do all the real work. Dads are just there to teach the kids football, frankly. Isn't that right, Caleb? That's all you're.
I mean, that is what I do best.
Is what you do best. It's a little fun tidbit there, as former Colts one-year wonders, as Matt Ryan was with the Colts.
Nice. I like that one. Great call out, bringing up Mr. Rivers.
Yeah. So we move over to the wins over under, and very similar to the Texans, the Colts have a 6.5 as their win total. For me, Much like the Texans, I'm going to go under on this one. I think they have talent, and I think that they are going to really turn things over quickly. But I definitely think with a little bit of Jonathan Taylor holding out or injury or something, you know, there could be a little bit of rumblings there. I think rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, and this team isn't quite as loaded with talent as I think the Texans are, or hasn't brought in a whole bunch of fresh talent. So I'm gonna keep them under that, and I think they're around a 4 or 5 win team this next year.
I know that they had 4 last year, Derek. I think that they could improve, but I also know Richardson is not the most pro-ready. He may be athletic, he may be strong, but I also don't think that he is polished. I'm going to go under the 6.5 as well. I think there's a lot of talent on the team. I tend to agree with you, though. If you're giving me a rookie head coach, you're giving me Anthony Richardson, who could be great and could stumble, I'm more likely going with the under on this one.
Yeah, I think we're 2 years away from the Colts really showing us something, and that's okay. I mean, it's okay for them to have to rebuild a little bit. The Colts are a lot like, and I don't want to say this to your face, but the Colts are a lot like the Packers, as they have had such good quarterback play for quite a long time that, you know, because they went from Peyton Manning, and for a few years they had Andrew Luck, looked like everything was going to work out really well. And now they just kind of went through some hard times with some veteran guys. The Packers, of course, aren't like that. They have Jordan Love, who's just going to pick up where Aaron Rodgers left off. But when you have the most important position taken care of, it makes everything much easier. In this case, rookie quarterback who once, like Caleb said, really not pro ready, but has a lot of raw talent. And I don't like anyone saying the word raw because it's, but he has a lot of talent that we hope translates quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we talk about the division awards, my favorite guy on this team, of course, Jonathan Taylor, running back, because you can't give awards to Quentin Richardson for guard play. So I'm going to say offensive player of the year, Jonathan Taylor. I think that's the easiest one. You know, of course, we talk about rookie with Anthony Richardson, if he just breaks out, because all of the first round quarterbacks are going to have that spotlight on them.
I'll go ahead and go with Shaquille Leonard for defensive player of the year. Of course. What he does, he's always going to be in that discussion. He was down a little bit last year, but I think that he definitely has the potential to rise back up and have a solid year this year.
That's a really good point. That defense has some players on there and definitely has talent that could easily, you could easily see someone coming out for that if they have a really good breakout year versus the other teams that are in this division. So let's talk about your key matchup. What week are you talking about?
I'm going week 5. I'm going to go with the matchup where they are hosting the Tennessee Titans at the house that Peyton built. I do think that in general, it's just going to be an interesting one. This is actually going to be their third division game of the year. They have a lot early on their calendar. And to me, it's one of those where I feel like Tennessee and Indy always play each other close. And I just want to go out there and see how do they do it. You know, are they able to get an edge over a Titans team that, you know, the Colts are hoping to be on the upswing and they're hoping the Titans are on the downswing? Or are the Titans going to go out there, out physical them, push them around, you know, get steamrolled by Derrick Henry? Like, where's the grit and the tenacity of this Colts team? As I think that it's just going to be a very different styles of football. You know, the Colts have Jim Bob Cooter coming in as their new OC, and I think he likes to throw it a little bit more. But I also know with Richardson, I think that you might want to be a little bit more hard-nosed. You know, get behind Quentin Nelson, run the ball, use Jonathan Taylor, use Zach Moss, use everyone, and just run at those Titans. So I really want to see what happens in what I think is a really kind of a gritty, grinded out game there in week 5.
Great point. I think that's a great one, a great call out when it comes to that one. I'm going to go a little bit further into the season and go week 12. Tampa Bay coming to the Colts home base. And so this is the coming off your bye week. How does your team look? Did they have to reset during the bye week? You know, is there something brand new that was installed? And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are probably going to be in a similar situation. They're not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination, but they have talent on defense. I still believe in Baker Mayfield. I think that he's a pretty good quarterback. And we saw him in a preseason game. Throw it around a little bit in the, still looked pretty good. So you're going kind of talent on what kind of talent that you have, where once again, you're not going up against the greatest teams out there, but it's kind of a measuring stick game where are you coming up as they're going down? Are you on their same level? Are you playing up to your competition? And so I like to watch teams after their bye week to see what was instituted during that time off, or if guys got healthy, if guys got rest, you can definitely tell.
I think that makes a ton of sense. I will be definitely keeping an eye on that Colts Bucks matchup. And let's face it, we don't know what kind of year the Bucks are going to have. That we've said the NFC South is kind of a little lackluster. So, you know, are they playing Mayfield? Are they playing Trask? We could be learning a lot about both teams during that week.
Okay, so I need something from you, Caleb. Go ahead and give me that D word one more time that you gave us at the top of the show.
Duval.
Oh, that is it. We are talking the Jacksonville Jaguars now. So this is a team that has surprised us over the last couple of years. They look like they are moving in the right direction. They know who their quarterback is. They've got a really solid head coach with a pedigree. And so let's talk about some arrivals for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their first round pick at number 27 was Anton Harrison out of the University of Oklahoma. And then their pick at 130 was Tyler Lacy out of Oklahoma State. So some Oklahoma ties to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Sooner State headed over to the Sunshine State. And then just a little personal arrival for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Brandon McManus, the kicker, headed over from the Denver Broncos. They have got a really good kicker there, and I'm hoping nothing but the best for him as the Broncos have moved on. They're the ones who cut him and let him go to other places. So, I'm hoping that he is the kicker there and that he wins them some games. Caleb, I toss it over to you.
I want to go ahead and say that I'm intrigued by their third round pick as well. Tank Bigsby, who's coming in there, in the past, we've seen this running back room. Like Travis Etienne really hasn't Like, he showed up a lot more last year, but he was hurt his first year. Instead, you've got Bigsby, who's coming in from Auburn. He previously was the SEC Freshman of the Year back in 2020. But there's no James Robinson there. You know, Tank Bigsby's coming in, and he needs to be able to show up and show that he can be a reliable number two, because there's never just one running back anymore. It's always a stable of backs. And so I think Bigsby, you know, he's about 6 foot 213. I want to see what he comes out and brings to the Jacksonville Jaguars, as it's definitely going to be interesting just seeing him in the league.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. The Jaguars, the biggest piece that I saw, and you know how much I love the big guys up front, with Juwan Taylor headed over. He's a right tackle headed over to Kansas City from the Jaguars. I think that's going to be a big hit for them, as an established right tackle is very important. And with, you know, we've talked about some defensive players for the Texans, and you know, like, you're going to have to protect Trevor Lawrence at their level. So that's going to be a big departure from what I'm seeing here. Any departures that you want to talk about there, Caleb?
I mean, I think that really is the biggest one. They really haven't had a ton of key departures. They've been a team that's been rebuilding for the last few years. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they weren't necessarily expecting it to have to go from the Urban rebuild to the Doug Peterson rebuild quite so soon. But let's face it, Doug did a great job with them last year. They started off with a bit of a rough stretch, but ended up coming back and winning the division. I think that there's a lot of things to build on and look forward to for the Jaguars.
That's a good point. I really like the Jaguars, and I really love what they're doing. So I'm going to go out on a limb and go with the win total, which is 9.5. I'm going to take over on 9.5. I think someone has to be the best team in this division, and I could see double-digit wins by the Jaguars. I think this is not your father's Jaguars team. Mark Brunell and stuff like that. I think this is a brand new breed, and I really like what they're doing. So I'm going to say double-digit wins for the Jaguars as they go over the 9.5. What say you, Caleb?
I'm going to go over as well, just because the wins have to come somewhere. I do think it might be close. It might be 10 or 11, but I do think that the Jaguars are going to go out there, get the job done, and win enough games. Is it always going to be pretty? Maybe not, but I do think the Jaguars are an up-and-coming team, and I'm excited to see what they bring on the field this football season.
Great point. So do you want to go into the division awards that you could see coming out of the Jaguars who could be?
So I'm not really sure if the media would play this up, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb, and a limb that maybe most people won't follow me on. I'm going to say Calvin Ridley for comeback player of the year. I do think that him going out there, arguably being the best receiver in this offense, an offense that we think should be thriving. You know, Trevor Lawrence is there, Evan Ingram's there, Etienne and Bigsby are in the backfield. Christian Kirk had a good solid year last year. And then if Calvin Ridley goes out there, takes it to another level, let's say he gets 1,200 receiving yards and double-digit touchdowns, I at least think that he merits discussion after a year out of football. Granted, that year out of football was for his own mistakes in gambling. The NFL has been harsh about it, but he's reinstated. If you're reinstated and you don't really have those rules about comeback player of the year, I mean, let's face it, Geno got it when he was basically, hey, you came back from the bench. Like, if you come back from a suspension, I don't think that should be not allowed. So I'm going to say Calvin Ridley for comeback player of the year.
Oh, man. I might have a saw in my hand to chop down that branch that you went out on. That is a...
It's a stretch.
It's a spicy take. We're just going to call it a spicy take. So, you know, we're going to go from one spicy take to another spicy take. I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence MVP. I think that if Lamar Jackson can win MVP, I think that Trevor Lawrence can do the same thing. I think he's going to have a breakout year this year. I think there's going to be some expectations on him, and I think he's going to live up to those expectations. Trevor came in as the next great quarterback in the NFL. He was going to be the next Peyton Manning. He was going to be a lot of things, and he's been a winner since he was in high school. So I really think that he has put some expectations on himself and this team, and he's got plenty of weapons. So all of a sudden we see a big output from Mr. Lawrence, and boom, all of a sudden everyone's talking about, oh, yep, this is the Trevor Lawrence that we all know, we all love. This is the guy that came out of Clemson, a natural born winner. And I think with a really good year, he could be in the MVP discussion.
I like it. I like what you're putting down. Are you ready for a key matchup, Derek?
Let's go with some key matchups.
So I think that the Jaguars are doing something this year that I have not seen them do yet, but it's not a surprise that if anyone was going to do it, it would be them. I'm looking at week 5 as they play the Buffalo Bills at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. And that is because the Jaguars are going to play the previous week at Wembley Stadium in London. That's right. The Jaguars have back-to-back London games. And I don't think that I've seen that on anyone's calendar ever before. You know, it's interesting because they host Atlanta and then are at Buffalo for the game when they've played more games in London than anyone else. So not only did they get a home game in London this year, they also managed to get a road game the exact following week where they don't have to travel back from the U.S. to London that week. They're going to be in London already. They have 2 weeks there. I want to see how they do. Plus, the last time that the defense of Josh Allen for the Jaguars made him look foolish. So I think that was a 9-6 game. Hopefully we get more points in that one. But I want to see week 5, Sunday, October the 8th, with some coffee as the Bills and Jaguars take off over in London.
What a great pick on that one. I didn't look at their schedule. I didn't see them go back-to-back weeks in London. That's a great pick there. I'm going to go a little bit different and kind of on the same lines of what we've talked about on the previous two teams. So I'm going week 13, Cincinnati Bengals coming to town. So is this team really taking that next step? The Jags are supposed to be better, and they're making leaps and bounds toward being kings of the South. Are they truly a better team against one of the best teams in the NFL, or are they the Jaguars that we've seen over the last few years? Can they get out of their own way? Can they stop making mistakes? That's the only thing I see that's keeping the Jaguars back is, I don't want to say it, but betting on themselves.
Maybe we should leave the Jaguars on that note before we give Mr. Ridley any ideas.
So I was talking about the Kings of the South Division. Let's move over to the big guys. The Tennessee Titans. And they have some big guys coming in to wear that beautiful blue that they have on their uniforms. Of course, one of those big guys, pick number 11, Peter Skoronski. I almost forgot how to say it for a second. I had to look at it 3 times. You know, offensive tackle out of Northwestern. You know, hopefully he doesn't know anything about what happened with his former coach. You know, we're, you know, no talking about that. We have the first pick in the no, actually, be the second pick in the second round. Will Levis, maybe the quarterback of the future. They said the same thing about Malik Willis last year, so who knows? And then the big news, the biggest player coming to the Titans this year, DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver, headed over from the Arizona Cardinals. This is great news for anybody that's throwing the ball out to the receivers. Caleb, what do you think about these arrivals? Anyone that you want to talk about?
I've got to at least throw it out there to, you know, we've talked a long time about how the Eagles have had one of the best offensive lines in football. And there's a new left tackle coming to the Titans named Andre Dillard, who they took in the first round several years ago. Andre Dillard has 9 career starts. They gave him a 3-year, $29 million contract. He's going to be the new left tackle. I want to see how it pans out. Dillard and Skoronski are going to be over there on the left side. If they both shine, it's going to probably be a great year in Tennessee. If they struggle, it's not going to be a great year for Tennessee. So I'm very curious how that's going to work, completely rebuilding the left side of the line.
Great point. I think you have to run the ball. You have to have that line. A good tight end is always going to be your new best friend. We talked about it before with the Texans. It's always great to have those guys. What about departures? Do you have any major departures headed out from the Titans?
He disappointed in his time there, but I want to bring up Bud Dupree, the edge rusher that had signed there after his time in Pittsburgh. I know he is now in the Falcons, I believe. I feel like we talked about the Falcons signing everyone this offseason.
Yeah.
But in general, Bud Dupree, no longer there. They basically have said, hey, we got to figure out something else with our pass rush. They're bringing in actually Arden Key from Saxonville. To see if he can fill that role. It'll be interesting to find out, because the Titans want to be able to stop the run and run the ball. Last year, they were not as good on defense as they needed to be. And they also had some injuries on offense. Can they do better this year? It's going to be tough to know, but rebuilding that defense a little bit definitely is... it's tough.
Yeah. So for me, I talk about the big guys. Nate Davis, their guard, which of course affects Derrick Henry, has headed up to Chicago. Great, good for Nate for getting his money. But, this is something that you definitely have to, are they going to be able to run the ball? Are they certainly going to, where do they look next? And are they able to keep up what they're doing? I'm going to toss it over to you for the over-under. Their number is 7.5. Do you think that the Titans have over 7.5 wins? Or do you think they go under that number?
I'm going to put them under. I just don't see a lot of hope for the Titans this year as well. Is it possible that they could hit over? Maybe they, you know, if the Jaguars are hitting 10, the Titans hit 8. I don't know. I just think in general, this division is going to be wrapped up fairly early by Jacksonville, and that they may be able to rest their starters a little bit down the stretch. So I'm going a little bit under with the 7.5 for the Titans. And like you may have hinted to on the Brody Bites episode, it might be a rougher year for Mike Vrabel than he wants it to be.
I'm going to agree on that one. It's hard for me to have three teams in the same division go under their over-under win total, but I'm going with Titans under 7.5. This is going to be a difficult a difficult year for the Titans. And, you know, I'm hoping that they can go back, rebuild a little bit. You know, maybe they have their quarterback in the future in the building. Because I don't know how long that Tannehill is going to be there, or, you know, how long he can be their quarterback with the play that he gives them. I just don't know, like, where that key is to get them over that hump to the next stage. A couple years back, they were number one seed, I believe, number one or number two. I mean, they have a lot of talent and they have a lot of promise, but it always seems that they never seem to go anywhere in the playoffs, and winning a lot of games doesn't win you a Super Bowl.
It's true. It's very true. They're definitely going to be competitive in all of their games, but I think I like where we're both at on the under.
Yeah, so, I mean, I love the guy coming over. So I'm going to, if there's going to be an award coming out of the Titans, it's Offensive Player of the Year, DeAndre Hopkins. This is a really great opportunity to kind of turn back the clock a little bit. Like, hey, is he washed up? Is he not as good as he used to be? I think he's still got plenty of great in him. And so, you know, if we see, you know, the Titans have to go to more of that pass, you're going to have D-Hop there being the reason why they can move the ball down the field.
So I'm going to go out with a chance here, and I'm just going to say, give me Ryan Tannehill for Comeback Player of the Year.
Really?
Ryan Tannehill has had a bit of an up and down career. I think that if he can stay healthy, you know, he missed a couple of games with injury last year, but he was doing better as far as avoiding the turnovers compared to some of the prior seasons. If he can go out and have something like he had in 2020 or 2019 with some of his better numbers, I think that there's a chance that you at least consider him. I mean, he's won the award before. So let's not forget his first year starting in Tennessee when he replaced Mariota, he won the award. Imagine being the second time in your career to win Comeback Player of the Year. So I think it's possibly more believable now than when he was second on the depth chart behind Mariota. So I'll at least say that there's a chance.
Yeah. I mean, can you win Comeback Player of the Year twice? I really don't know. So I'm going to go with my key matchup next here. This is week 15 of this Seattle Seahawks coming to town, coming to Nissan Stadium. And so this is two teams that are probably on similar paths. Quarterbacks that you know, have their heyday, and are kind of cast off from other teams. And a team that could, should, might win in the playoffs, but they kind of have the feeling of a team on the outside looking in. Like, they've had years to build, and they just don't seem to be able to get over that hump, where the Bills have gotten better, where the Chiefs reload every single year, where we see, you know, the Jaguars looking better. It always seems that the Titans are not in that that picture of this team is going to be good. They have talent, all that kind of stuff. And I feel the Seahawks are similar in that this year. So we're getting toward the end of the season. This is the game you're probably going to have to win. And so I have the Seahawks coming to town into Nashville. And let's see who wins that game and to see where they are at on the road toward trying to win a Super Bowl.
I like it, Derek. I'm going to go ahead and stick in the division on this one.
Okay.
Give me week 11, only the Titans' second divisional game of the year, when they travel to Jacksonville and take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans, I think, could have a rough stretch to start the season. They're playing a lot of the teams outside of the division. They're playing all four of the AFC North teams that I think could be better or as competitive as them. I think when you play Jacksonville, you're either, it could be a last gasp at saying, hey, we want to try to compete for this division. Or it could be something where you say, we can beat Jacksonville and we're going to be a contender. Put your mark on it. You know, if you don't win that one, yes, you have some chances to rebound down the stretch, but that's, they play three games in Florida this coming year. They'll be at Tampa the week before, and then they're at Jacksonville. They do end up going down to Miami later in December. I think that at Jacksonville game is just going to be critical. It's actually a third road game in a row. And so you've got to be motivated. You've got to be hungry. This is the team that you need to beat if you think you have a chance. And the Titans should at least be playing that way. I mean, you always have a chance until you're knocked out.
So you're telling me that there's a chance.
Absolutely.
So if you want the chance to give us a review, reach out to your local podcasting platform. And if there's an ability to leave a review on there, I think we're a five-star podcast. Caleb thinks we're a five-star podcast. And we think that you are a five-star listener. So let's all get together and give us a five-star review. If you leave something on there for us to read, long as it's family-friendly, because we are a family-friendly podcast, we'll be happy to read it on the air and tell us where we're wrong. Tell us that the Titans are going to go over their win totals. Tell us that the Colts are trash. I don't know. Pat McAfee's out there somewhere, I'm sure. He's a listener. I'm sure that he's going to tell me where I'm wrong about the Colts. If you want to reach out to us on X, I guess it's called nowadays, our link tree, linktr.ee/BrodyTalk. Our link is in there. All of our links for everything that we have, anything that we're on, is going to be in there. X is usually the place where we post the most. And so reach out to us there. Tell us where we're right. Tell us where we're wrong. So on behalf of my co-host, Caleb, my name is Derek. Do me a favor and have a wonderful day.
Bye, y'all.